Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature-centered paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community.
Good evening, good morning, good night, good second breakfast, whenever you are, wherever you are. My name is Laura Gonzalez, and I'd like to welcome you to Lunatic Mondays, Lunes Lunaticos, the very first bilingual show for CSMP, the Circle Sanctuary Network podcast. And tonight we have a very special guest. I don't think I can even say her name without smiling and laughing, because I think she is a riot. She is so funny. We have Mama Gina today on Lunatic Mondays. And of course, it was awesome because when she was promoting, she was saying, "We don't know what's going to happen." Exactly. That's the motto of this show. Anything can happen. But anyway, let me introduce you to Mama Gina in case you didn't know her. Mama Gina is a singer, songwriter, fearless storyteller, and wanderlust. With down-to-earth bluesy vocals, a bit of humor, and straight-ahead rhythmic acoustic guitar, djembe, and frame drum, she tells the true stories that fall into her head and heart. She sings of her responsibility to nurture both the mundane and the divine. You'll also meet Nine Toes the Bard, a 15th century Welsh lass who once dealt with a dragon. She now travels the world singing tales of love and battle, pirates and Vikings, damsels and elves, trolls and that wicked dragon that left her one digit shy. And you will encounter the intergalactic bard Abba. She walks the stars. Come laugh, weep, laugh some more, and sing along with Mama Gina and all her alter egos. Mama Gina, I'm so happy to have you on the show tonight. How are you, darling?
Hi, Laura. I am great. This is such a pleasure to join you on Lunatic Mondays. Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you for coming. I've heard of you. I've heard of your music being on the radio and on the podcast sphere. I've heard of Mama Gina and heard your music before. But we didn't meet in person until PSG 2019, and boy, oh boy, did you have me laughing. And then I had the belly laughs, of course. So, you know, since I'm all belly, I was laughing with all of my body. I cannot believe how funny you are and how amazing your music is and how lovely it is to have met you in person finally on PSG last year. And I figure since a lot of things have been changed in the times of COVID, to invite you and to have you on the show and to talk about your music and what you've been doing, and of course the elephant in the room, COVID-19, how we were talking with Louis Guru and we were talking with Celia Farron, how all of you guys have to kind of like cancel your stuff or move to online, etc. So how you doing, honey? I mean, you're being healthy, but, you know, how you doing with your music?
Oh, man, I'm doing well. First, let me say that meeting you at PSG 2019 was a blast. Oh, my gosh. I love it when somebody gets it and laughs at the music. So I appreciate that so much. You know what? This year has been so unusual, and I am such a Luddite. I don't work well with computers. I don't work well with video cameras. And I am having to learn how to do all that stuff this year. I recorded two CDs in February and released them in early March, all on my own, you know, just learning the skills I needed to learn instead of going away to a studio. And I'm currently recording the next project, which is the Ava Music, She Walks the Stars. And I'm video, doing some videotaping of concerts and playing some live concerts online. And I'm learning. Yay. You know, you can't teach this old dog a few new tricks, it turns out.
Yeah, you know, doable. You know, I've seen folks, they say out of chaos comes creativity. You're an artist. You know this better than I. But I think it's, you know, that's the only way. And I keep telling whoever listens to my repetitive rants, for us in the Latino Spanish-speaking pagan community, this is it. This is all we have, is the online thing, the multimedia thing, the doing videos and Zoom and this and that. And it's okay. We have created a community where we cannot see each other in person, but we know of each other, or we know each other, we work with each other. So to see that the uniqueness, as you put it, of this year had pushed the Anglo-Pagan community to do the same. It's like, yep, guys, we know this, and you're all going to be okay. It's just about being patient and learning a few tricks, you know. But I'm so glad that you keep producing, and I have to say to you and to every artist and every person that works with art, thank you. Thank you for producing music. Thank you for sharing your art and your wonderfulness with all of us, because art is what's keeping us sane. With the quarantine, with the pandemic situation, art is the only thing that is keeping us alive and looking forward to the next day.
Oh, thank you. You know what? It really is important. And I will say this. I would be sitting in my room playing music if I never toured, if I never connected with another person, because it's how I express myself. Sometimes I tell people, you know, I can't afford a psychotherapist. Welcome to my therapy session. Listen to my music. You'll hear everything that's inside my head. but it's so important that we are able to share this. And I got to tell you, you know what? I could sit around a campfire for the rest of my life and play to whoever happens to be sitting next to me, and I would probably be perfectly happy. But that also excludes a lot of the community I've learned that can't make it to that campfire, that can't camp, so they don't make it to festivals, or they can't afford to come to the festivals. And we have a huge pagan community outside of the festival pagans. And I'm just finally connecting with them, and I'm so thrilled that that is happening. And it's because I finally kind of got off my butt and said, you know what, I need to learn how to use all this technology. And I thought I was just going to be reaching out to the people I already knew. It turns out I'm reaching a whole nother level of folks out there, and it's really kind of lovely, because I'm opening that bubble up and expanding my circle, and I'm thrilled that I'm able to do that and share my music with more people than just the folks that I meet on the road when I'm traveling.
Yeah, I think that's the bright side of this whole situation, right? That we are connecting with folks that we never expected, and that they are listening to our music, listening to our magic or art or teachings, whatever people are doing online. And it's great. And it also brings this rich diversity, you know, because there are folks that have been singing for years and years and years, and they're new to the cybersphere. And then there are folks that you started singing and you're like, okay, yeah, now you need to go back to the studio for another hour or two. But anyway, thank you for adventuring and doing the cyber thing, because I'm sure folks like me, I'm not a camping person. You met me at a camping site, but I am not a camping person at all. I have the worst insect phobia that ever existed, and I'm not body able. I cannot camp. So it was kismet. It was meant to be that I met you when I met you. And now I get to enjoy you online. So, and today I get to enjoy you all for me. So I have to ask you the question, of course, when what was first, the singer or the witch, the pagan? I don't know if you consider yourself a pagan, a witch, or how do you self-identify, but also, you know, a singer. So what came first to you in your life, the divinity or the music, which is one of the same, but...
Wow, what a great question. Thank you. So I'm a pagan. I was raised Catholic, and when I was in fourth grade, I sang always. In fact, my mother says I sang before I spoke. My grandmother used to yell at me because I would just make up melodies at random, and she would yell at me when we were in the car to shut up. And I won't even say half the words that she said because my grandmother cursed like a sailor, but she would say, shut up. If you can't sing something that I know, then don't sing anything at all. But I was always singing. And in fourth grade, I wrote my first song. It was called In a Bubble City, about a dystopian future where a girl is trying to figure out how to get out into the world outside of the bubble that she lives in to find out if the earth has regenerated and is green again. And, yeah, we're still writing about the same stuff, aren't we? So I was in fourth grade. I got up in front of the whole school and sang that song in front of all the nuns. And the second song I wrote was a song about the Virgin Mary because I figured out my audience pretty quickly. And you know what? I've been writing about that Virgin Mary, that goddess, for, you know, for the rest of my life. But I came to paganism through a very circuitous route. But let's just say by the time I was in middle school, I was no longer Catholic, but played the role to be a very good daughter, you know, and student for all the years I was in school. But I really, really disconnected from Catholicism by the time I was in middle school, and found paganism on my way, and tarot at Kabbalah, which is the big study of my life for the last 35 years. And I've been writing and playing music. I started singing professionally at 16, and about 8 years ago, I turned 50, and I had been on the road before with all kinds of bands, touring for a good portion of my life from the time I was 16. Stopped on the road traveling to raise my son for 18 years. And 8 years ago, I was 50. My son had turned 18 and had graduated from high school. And I said, you know what? I want to go back out on the road, and I think I want to play this music I've been writing for the last few years, and it's definitely going to be for the pagan market. And I never looked back. I just never looked back. I've loved doing this. I love being a solo artist and collaborating with my other pagan musicians when I'm able, but I absolutely love this, and I really, really miss the touring right now.
Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, because this is your, how you do your thing. And I really feel so, what's the word, you know, I'm not impatient, but powerless, you know, we wish we could make this disappear and have the power to see you all touring again. But, you know, this is the next best thing, I guess, you know, and we're very glad to be able to amplify these voices. And speaking of voices, of course, when we have a musical act on Lunatic Mondays, whenever I have an artist, a musician, I have to do the thing. And I have to ask you, where the songs come from? And you, before I ask you from a specific song, you're very open about talking about how you come to write your music. And for those who have never heard you explain live, would you mind saying to us how these voices come and dictate the music?
Well, there are three voices. Mama Gina is who I am, really, on stage. And that music comes from wherever it comes from, whether it's from something that was inspired outside of me or whether it's just an idea that bubbles up. Sometimes it's my thought, and sometimes it's definitely from the divine, and I don't even question it. I just write the song. A few years ago, Nine Toes the Bard showed up, and she was a voice in my head that I didn't understand was not real when she first showed up. but she made herself very, she was very demonstrative in proving that she was indeed real. And her music, the Nine Toes, the Bard music, is completely different from anything that I had ever written in my life. It was completely unexpected and had a lot of humor in it, which I really, really loved. And the newest voice, Ava, has showed up, and she is from 30,000 years in the future, and she is a musician that travels the Milky Way. And her music is completely different. There's a lot of pain. There's a lot of hurt. But it's also a story that she's giving me of love and light and gravity and quantum entanglement. And they actually, we can get in each other's skin. So I live their experiences and then write the songs that come from those experiences. And I'm sure on some other dimension or plane, they are living through my skin and writing songs about me, which I can't imagine is nearly as interesting as their stories. But it is what it is. I think that we are linked somehow in this big bardic pool of souls, and we all just have a little bit of each other in us. And we resonate at such a similar frequency that we can literally live each other's lives in a moment. And you know what? Most people, they would medicate if something like that happened to them. I just write the music. I dispensed with all of the other stuff and said, you know what? I may be crazy, but I can make a living doing this. And so that's what I do.
And to me, it's fascinating because you are actually not the first person that I know that channels this situation, unique situation, unique experience into art. And with the first person, I'm going to be brutally honest here, please forgive me. With the first person that I heard they were doing that, I am a skeptic. So I was like, yeah, right, okay, whatever. But then when I met you, and now this is two people, and you're all telling me the exact same story, and you all don't even know of each other. And I'm like, I wonder how many other folks are out there having a similar experience and just channeling this personalities, voices, aspects of the divine, faces of the kaleidoscope that you all are. And just giving us this wonderful, trippy art experiences without needing to have LSD. You know? I think it's wonderful. I love that you share, and I love that you are so open about the experience, you know?
Well, thank you. You know what's funny is I am a skeptic. You know, people tell me, oh, I see pink light around you. And I'm like, yes, sure you do. You know, I'm in my head, you know, going, these people are insane. You know, I walk through half the folks at festival. I'm like, I'm trying to keep an open mind here, but some of you are just nuts, you know. And it's funny because I'm nuts, you know. You know, who's
yep.
going to believe this thing that happens to me? Where I can inhabit their lives and taste and touch and smell and see and feel the things that they are living. You know, I can feel their emotions. I cry with them. I laugh with them. And I actually have another voice sitting in the background, and I told her she has to wait because I'm busy writing with Ava, and she's been very good about maintaining a distance until I'm ready to let her in. And it may be another year or two before I do. But she's given mm-hmm. me some of her story as well. They're lining up, but I can't multitask with my bards. So I need them to talk to me one at a time. Otherwise I'm going to be crazy.
Right.
You know what? I had a friend one time who she has a whole bunch of guides. And she came to me, and she's brilliant, and she's the real deal. I mean, she really, truly does channel. She really does. There's no doubt in my mind. I've had too many things, you know, say that it's absolutely true. But she came to me for a reading. She said, I don't know what to do. I've got one of them telling me this and one of them telling me that, and her life was falling apart. I said, look. I said, you know you don't have to do everything they tell you. And she looked so surprised, like she'd never even thought of that before. She thought if they were spiritual, they had to be somehow more evolved or better or smarter or whatever. And I was like, maybe they're just pushing you around because that's the experience they want to have, you know? So I have learned to push back on the voices in my head and let them know they have to wait in line kind of thing. But I love the stories I get and the music that I get and the things that I learn through them that I might not have ever learned in this lifetime.
And, you know, I know of people who said the more skeptic that you are, the more faithful or the bigger that your faith is. So it kind of makes sense in a paradoxical kind of way. But going to that experience that you told us about your friend, me being a psychic, I thank the divine, I thank the goddess that I'm not an empath, you know, because it's different things, of course. So, but being a psychic, sometimes it could be scary and it could be like voices that come or presences or energy. And a friend of mine told me exactly what you told your friend, like, you know what, this is your plane of existence. They have to wait. And you can plainly tell them, like, yeah, we serve from 9 to 5, Thursday to Sunday, and that's it. And I was like, really? Is that simple? And she's like, uh-huh. That's all you have to do is let them know that this is your realm and this is you're the queen here. And they have to wait, you know? It's like, oh, okay. So it is amazing. And I love art. I always tell people I live in the corner of art and magic, and that's it. And that creativity that brings to you is just fantastic. So now we're going to get into the songs, actually. And I'm a Lashky kid, so I'm going to leave my favorite to the end because I want the reward to be immense. But I'm going to ask you about Firewood and Rust because I would love to hear the story behind this song before we listen to it.
Sure. So that whole CD came from a really rough 3.5 years. By the beginning of 2016, my life was falling apart. I went through a divorce that year. That was the year that I got hospitalized and had the surgery, found out I was diabetic. I almost died, and that's not an exaggeration. I really, truly almost died. A lot of things went very, very wrong for me. I was faced with a situation where I might not ever be able to tour again. And I had a really hard time processing that. And I wrote a lot of music as a result of that because that's how I process. And I wound up with all these songs, these sad songs like Firewood and Rust. It's talking about, you know, somebody who can't really hear the music anymore. They can't figure out how to get on with their lives, and they're just going to settle instead of moving ahead because they don't know what else to do with themselves. And I that whole CD was nothing but sad songs, and I didn't play them out for the longest time because I thought nobody wanted to hear it because everyone expects humor from me. And I finally did decide to play them out, and I got really good responses, so I'm glad that I did finally do the CD. I think it's a powerful piece of work, and it's definitely a huge part of my soul from the last 3 years. I feel like I've healed through the process of writing those songs and then finally releasing them into the world. But Firewood and Rust was actually written in my head in the back of a car going through West Virginia, and I was trying to take my mind off of some stuff and saw a rusted out wagon wheel in somebody's front yard up in those mountains. And within like the 2 hours that I was in the back of that car, I wrote that whole song in my head. Sometimes they happen that fast and sometimes they take months, but this one was real fast.
And just so to like really get into the process, I'm always fascinated because most people get the melody first and then the lyrics. How do you get them? You get them together, you get the melody first, you get the lyrics first. What's the process?
You know what? It varies from song to song. Firewood and Rust, I wrote all the lyrics in the back of that car and then sat down. I already had an idea of what the music was going to sound like, but I wasn't sure until I held the guitar in my hands. Other songs, I start with a chord progression and it inspires the lyrics. And then some songs, I work very diligently on the lyrics and the music at the same time because I want to focus and present a very specific idea. I never know which is going to come first. It's really a mixed mm-hmm. bag.
Like we say in Lunatic Mondays, anything can happen. All right. So we invite you all to stay put. We're going to listen to Firewood and Rust, and we're going to come back with more with Mama Gina. And so don't go anywhere. We're coming back with more here on Lunatic Mondays.
You're just a broken weight on wheels, only gone so far. Next time you lay down to rest, wound up where you are. There ain't no freaks in you, ain't moving on. World still turns beneath you like a song, a sad, sad song. You see the music, but you can't play it on your own. So you're tuned in to the universe on some old radio. All you kids standing in this house that ain't no home. And you wait for someone else to break down.
Without that dragon, you are what you are.
Welcome back. We're back here live on Lunatic Mondays, Lunes Lunaticos, the very first bilingual show for CSMP, the Circle Sanctuary Network podcast. And we are the first bilingual show because there is a second bilingual show. There is a show that comes up every Saturday, and our collaborators are both speaking Spanish and Portuguese. And I'm going to run you down to the list of the programming very quickly. And this is obviously for people who speak Spanish and or Portuguese. On June 13, we're going to have Carolina Moore talking about the Wheel of the Year and the solstices of summer solstice and winter, and summer solstice and winter solstice. And on the 20th, as part of the celebration for PSG, yours truly is going to be talking about rituals and rites of passage. That's going to be in Spanish, of course. And then on the 27th of June, Patricia Finclair brings us the Portuguese show, an interview with Clever Lupino. That is going to be on Paganos del Mundo is the name of the show, Pagans of the World. And then for Lunatic Mondays, we have a whole bunch of special things happening. Our regular programming, we will have Steffi Bong Scott from the Sumerian Reconstructionism on June 22nd. This is a regular programming, Steffi Bong Scott, Sumerian Reconstructionism. But as part of the PSG celebration that is going to be online, all of the shows of CSMP are going to be tapping into Pagan Spirit Gathering. So on June 15, we will have Reverend Sharon Stewart Moonfeather talking about PSG and what it is to organize the Pagan Spirit Gathering. And in a very special CSMP special, Lunatic Mondays on Friday. What? Friday, June 19, we're going to have a special interview that I did last year with Senior Minister from Circle Sanctuary, Selena Fox. And that interview happened last year right before PSG. So you can hear the excitement on both of our voices because we were going to PSG, and that is fantastic. Obviously, too, to remind you that there are other shows. We have Nature Mystic and Nature Spirituality, the shows with Selena Fox. We have Circle Talk on two Tuesdays a month with Deborah Rose. And we have Moon Magic two Thursdays a month here on CSMP with David and Janet Ewan. But without further ado, I want to welcome back my dearest friend, Mama Gina. How are you, darling?
I am well. And I, you know what? I'm going to say I love what Circle Sanctuary does for the community, keeping us all connected. You've always done such a wonderful job of it, but now especially we need it more than ever. And the podcasts are a huge part of that, and it's really appreciated by everybody out here.
You know, we love doing it. I for one, I produce 7 shows a month. I am the producer for Paganos del Mundo, and I have a huge team that I coordinate with. There are 5 collaborators from all over the world. And then, of course, Lunatic Mondays and their guests, and it is a lot of work. It is a lot of work that we volunteer to do, but it is such a lovely result. You know, this is so much my vocation. You know, I've been podcasting for 10 years now, and to do it for the community, and I started obviously with the Spanish speaking community, but it is such an amazing service to give to people and to give the interviews and the insight of the artist's minds. And And plot twist, what people don't know is I benefit so much because I learned so much from y'all. So we really appreciate that you say that. And, of course, Selena Fox and everything that Circle does, I mean, she's been at it for 45 years. And, you know, the whole team is we all have, you know, been doing this for a while. And we thank you all for supporting. We didn't know what was going to happen once we opened the station as Circle Sanctuary Network Podcast. We didn't know if we were going to be a success or if we were going to sink. And we are everywhere, man. We are on iTunes. We are on Spotify. There's a whole lot of podcast providers that are picking up our shows. So I have to say I'm very proud of our team, and I'm very proud of what we're doing. So thank you so much for saying that. And, of course, as I said earlier, if it wasn't for the artists, look at what's happening right now with the Black Lives Matters movement and the protests and the demonstrations, and it all is turning into art. People are having these art demonstrations. There's dancing, there's singing, there's art keep us alive. And I have to tell you, the goddess is creativity. The goddess is creation, right? The divine is creation. So people who create art are really, truly manifestation of the goddess on the earth. That's how I see you. And that's why, to me, it's so important to have artists on the show. So I really appreciate you. And I really appreciate your lyrics. My goodness, they are amazing. I have to ask you now. I hope you know where I'm going into, right? But no, you know, no. We want to talk about Kabbalah first. I'm that crazy. We're gonna talk about ringing every day at the end. Kabbalah. Okay. How did you get into Kabbalah? Kabbalah, whatever you pronounce it.
Yeah. My goodness. You know what? I picked up tarot in my teens, and that was the slippery slope that led me to paganism, to Kabbalah, to a whole bunch of things. And for a long time, I didn't want to look at Kabbalah because I felt like it was just going to, it was too far out there. It was too complicated. I didn't need anything that complicated in my life. But by my early 20s, I was like, you know what, I'm starting to look at this. And it was a long road, but I've been studying pretty hardcore for the last 35 years, mostly on my own. I am not oath bound. I get to teach people the things that I have learned, because I haven't sworn to keep any secrets that because nobody gave me any of their secrets. It was hard won knowledge, and I'm still learning every day. I could do this for lifetimes, I think. But I'm getting ready to start a class, and I haven't done that in a while. I have taught some workshops at festivals over the last 8 years, but 8 years ago when I decided to come out on the road, I stopped teaching every weekend, and for years while my son was growing up, I had a regular day job, and on the weekends, I went out and taught tarot of Kabbalah classes at introductory, intermediate, and advanced levels, and I kind of missed teaching those weekly classes, but I haven't really had an opportunity. Well, guess what? Now I've got an opportunity because I'm sitting here. And I, you know what, this week I literally got the clue by four over the head from the goddess. She said, why are you not teaching Kabbalah right now? And I said, well, because I don't have an excuse. And I put out the call a week, right, I put out the call a week ago and said, if I decided to teach my 6-week introductory Kabbalah class online, who would be interested? And I want you to know that I have 2 very full classes. We're going to be doing it on Zoom. One's going to be on Wednesday nights, and one's going to be on Saturday mornings. And they start this coming Wednesday, like in 2 days. And it happens so fast. People really want this knowledge. You know, they want to have a way of understanding what's happening to us and how we can respond thoughtfully. And Kabbalah is good for a whole lot of things, magic, magical stuff, mystical stuff, practical stuff, and I'm a practical witch, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I'm really excited that I'm going to get to share this knowledge with 2 classes over the next 6 weeks. I'm just thrilled. I'm excited. It is.
That's awesome.
I've got to tell you, if you go to any of my songs, any of my song lyrics, you are going to find spiritual and Kabbalistic principles riddled throughout this stuff. And because that is my touchstone, that is my center, that is how I have learned to think, is through the Kabbalistic systems, through the imagery of Kabbalah. And it is in everything that I do, literally.
Mm-hmm. I feel that way about tarot, and I totally understand, because everything that's happening in the world right now, the only way I understand it is through tarot. So I get it, and that's what happens when you are so immersed on something. So you have two classes that are full right now, and this is going to be 6 weeks. Do you have room for more people, or is there a waiting list? Because the thing is what you were saying earlier, because now you're offering it online, you're reaching folks that you couldn't have reached before in person. So I'm pretty sure a lot of people would like to get connected and get the opportunity to learn from you. So is there a waiting list?
My Wednesday night class is full. I don't want any more than I've got in my Wednesday night class right now, because we've got over 20 people that are going to be attending the Wednesday night. And once the Zoom room gets too full, I can't see everybody's faces anymore. My Saturday morning classes, I still have some room. So if anybody's interested, please reach out to me over this next week. The Saturday classes won't start until June 20th, so we have a little bit of time. And the classes are also going to be recorded, so if anyone takes the classes, they can go back and watch the classes again if they want to. So, you know what? It's lovely that this technology has become so easy to maneuver through, because it makes it much easier for me to teach these classes online now. So I'm excited.
It is indeed. It's exciting, and I'm so happy that you're doing it. And so, folks, reach out to Mama Gina. Saturday morning still available. And I have your website here, www.mamaginamusic.com. Is that the right place to find you and reach out to you, or is there another email or something else?
That is the place. That has my email links all over every page. So if people go to my main website, they will find me and find ways to contact me very easily through that. Yeah. MamaGinaMusic.com.
And then, of course, I have to say, folks, you know how you're going crazy with the quarantine, and you know how you don't know what to do, and you're glued to Netflix and music and the TV and YouTube and all that? Well, it's time to give back, and it's time to buy. Yes, it's time to buy the music, because this artist, they also have bills that they have to pay. They have rent, and they have to eat. I know people say they eat from our round of applause. We feed them, but no, they also need to eat whatever they love to eat. So go to www.mamagina.bandcamp.com so you can buy your very own copy of her amazing music. And she's got new stuff there, right?
I do. I have all of my CDs are loaded up there, so you can purchase them digitally. You can also reach out to me, and we can make a deal, and I will send you CDs. All of the Ava stuff, the new She Walks the Stars stuff, as I am getting the initial mixes done of each song, I am posting those. So there is actually an album up there called She Walks the Stars, and it's totally, completely different from anything I've ever done. So you definitely want to go out and listen to it. I actually am running a special right now on Bandcamp. For $70, you get all of the digital downloads that are currently on the site. That's over 80 songs. Plus, I will send you all 7 physical CDs that I have, and that includes Nine Toes Naughty, which really I have never had on the road before, because I just finished it in March. So there are only a few of those copies out there right now, and those are the naughty songs. So,
and this is, folks, if you don't know how to math, quickly, I'm going to tell you, that is not even a dollar a song. And then you get the physical CD. And it
right.
really, I mean, I really, really want to push people. I really want to exhort you to please, truly, I know I said this 20 times already. I don't care. I repeat myself all the time. Art is keeping our emotions at bay. Art is helping us with anxiety. It's helping us with desperation, despair, illness. Feed the artist. Don't go by Mozart. Mozart died already. I mean, may he rest in peace. Mama Jean is here, so buy her art and, you know, help her, you know, support herself. Because they also eat. And, no, their art is not free. So, that being said, let's talk about that nine toes person. I love her because she's nutty and I'm very nutty. I have vowed not to swear on this show because it's a part of Circle Sanctuary and I'm a minister in training, so I cannot swear on the show. But man, oh man, do I love her. And I think we have the same nutty sense of humor. Tell us her story, please.
Yeah. Okay. So in August of 2015, now before that, I wrote songs. They were all true. They were either stuff that happened to me or stuff that happened to other people that they shared their stories with me. That was all I ever knew how to do. I didn't know how to write something as much fantasy and sci-fi as I've read. I'm not the person who writes that stuff. Well, in August of 2015, I'm driving to a gig, you know, hours on the road, and this whole story falls in my head about who has a name that nobody can remember because she's been cursed. So nobody can remember her name, which totally sucks if you're a musician on the road. So she finds a dragon that is willing to make a deal with her. She makes a deal with the dragon that she will get a name that everybody can remember. In exchange, she has to spend one night with the dragon, and the dragon gets to take whatever he wants. Well, he has a toe fetish, and she wakes up in the morning. She's now, you know, Nine Toes the Bard. That is how she gets the name that everybody will remember. Well, that story fell in my head. I pulled off to the side of the road. I scribbled it down, filled up a half a notebook with all of the detail and everything. And I got back on the road. And by the time I got to the hotel where I was going to stay for a couple of days after the gig that I played, I was so bothered by this story because I thought I've never experienced anything like this. I don't know what this is. I've never made anything up before like this. I don't know what this is. I wound up writing a song, and in fact, I played it the next week, and it was 5 pages of lyrics because it was such a long song, but it was this great drinking song, you know? So I actually brought 5 people up to stand in front of me to hold the lyrics in front of me because they wouldn't fit on my music stand. And I played it for the first time, and it got so much applause, and people were singing along to it. I thought, I have to do this song. Well, I still didn't understand what was happening. I started writing another song that was kind of Nine Toes, the Bard, sort of. It was called Paladin Schmaladin. And then it kind of all stopped. And then 10 months after I wrote the first Nine Toes song, I wound up in a hospital in St. Louis. It was June of 2016, and that was when I almost died. I wound up in the hospital. They had to take a toe. It turns out I'm diabetic. Who knew? And the morning after the surgery, she walked into the hospital room. And I thought, I must be going crazy. But they didn't have me on anything except the antibiotics because I couldn't feel my feet, so there was no pain. So they hadn't given me any morphine. You know, they kept asking me, are you in pain? I'm like, no. So they never gave me anything. So there was nothing in my system except the antibiotics that they were giving me. And I thought, I'm going crazy. She just walked into this hospital room, and I looked at her, and I said, you're real? And she said, aye. And I said, oh, you have an accent. Where are you from? And we started talking. And I was in that hospital a total of 6 days, and I wrote 4 of her songs in 6 days. went to my friends there in St. Louis and stayed another 6 weeks because I couldn't go anywhere because I was under the surgeon's care after the surgery while they were getting me straight. And I wrote more music for her. And she was so, she completely inhabited my senses to where I was living her life almost daily there for a while. And I realized that I was, you know, I looked at my friend in the hospital when she came to visit me and bring me my guitar because I told her I need it. I have to have it here. And I said, I think I'm having a spiritual experience from losing this toe. And that sacrifice, you know, I think she tried to warn me that it was coming, but I wasn't paying attention. she showed up and she took over, and eventually I let her on stage. I had been playing her music on stage, but there was a point when she finally pushed me aside and said, I need to tell this story. And I opened my mouth one night on stage, and out came this story that I had never even heard from her before. She was, when I was a little girl, and she started talking about the woman who had found her and raised her. And this was live on stage, and I'm sitting in my body. I'm fully aware. This is not like channeling where you go away and the other thing speaks. This was simply her just pushing me aside enough so that she could have my voice. And I was shocked and amazed at the story that I was hearing as it was coming out of my mouth. And we've had this symbiotic relationship ever since. I think that she and I are more closely joined nowadays because I think that integration with her is part of the process, and we are slowly approaching that. That was in 2016. I think that we are approaching that now. But she has a hell of a sense of humor. She is an entertainer from start to finish, but she also has some very serious stuff. And in fact, I have other music written for her that has not been released yet that will be at some point, but it will be far more serious because there were a lot of horrible things that she had to live through. A woman on the road in the 15th century in what we now know as Europe. There was an awful lot of horrible in her life, but she wanted me to express the joy and the funny over the last few years, and so that's what we had been working on.
And boy, is she funny. So we come to my beloved prize, Ring It Every Day. My God. Have you ever had anybody else laughing that hard on that song, or did I break the record?
You know what? It's a close call. That's actually a true story, by the way. it was inspired by true events. I've got to tell you, there was somebody at a festival that exposed himself to me, and he had a bell. He had a piercing and a bell. And he exposed himself to me, and he pointed at it as he was ringing that bell with no hands and said, you should write a song about that. And so I did.
My goodness. So little do you know, me being ESL, English is my second language. And for me to understand the lyrics of a song, I usually need to read it. But because this is sang with an accent, with a kind of like a southern drawl or something like that, I was able to follow the lyric as you were singing, which was very noticeable when I started laughing at all the right parts. So it is one of those few instances where I got the lyric as it was happening. I was like, oh, okay. Just amazing. Anyway. I want us to part ways tonight with Ring It Every Day. Folks, if you never heard it before, please pay attention. But we're going to end our show tonight. I knew the show was going to be a riot. I knew it was going to be super fun. I knew that you and I were going to connect in such a way. So I want to remind everybody to go to www.mamaginamusic.com or go to www.mamagina.bandcamp.com and take advantage of the specials that she has going on right now. Mama Gina, has been a pleasure to have you on the show, and I want to give you the microphone so you can say goodnight to your audience.
Oh, thank you so much. It was an absolute pleasure. I loved connecting with you this evening. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. This has just been so much fun. And let's do it again.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're gonna go on the road. We're going to go back. We're building the new normal. And when that happens, or even before, who knows? If this is Lunatic Mondays, anything can happen. Thank you so much, Mama Gina. Thank you so much to everybody who is listening live. Thank you to everybody who will listen to the recording. You know they're always there for you. You can download, you can save them, you can listen. And we're going to say goodnight tonight with Ring It Every Day. Thank you, Mama Gina. Thank you, everybody. Good night. And never forget that you are loved. Bye-bye.
The first time that I passed that kilted laddie on the corner, I thought I heard a bell ring, and then I thought of it no more. The second time I passed that kilted laddie on the corner, I thought I heard a bell ring, but I couldn't say for sure. Every day that week as I stepped across the street, I saw that kilted laddie, heard a bell as clear as day, ringing in my head, and that laddie, he was smiling shy, and I so sweetly, and I thought I heard him say, ring it once, me laddie, and make her look, me laddie, ring it twice to win her smile on her wave. Ring it thrice for true love, oath is everlasting, and if you want to keep her, you'll ring it every day. He looked at me, his eyes were green, he took my hands in his, and then I heard that bell go mad off, you know I did. I said, did you just hear that? He said, what you hear me, lass? A bell, it rings every time I pass. I pass you on this corner, and I hear that ringing sound. And he said, I hear bells, lass, whenever you're around. I looked into his eyes, and I was under his sweet spell. I thought I heard him singing softly to himself. Ring it once, me laddie, and make her look, me laddie. Ring it twice to win her smile on her wave. Ring it thrice for true love, oh, that's everlasting. And if you want to keep her, you'll ring it every day. We met for tea and coffee, then we brunched, and then we picnicked. The conversations lingered and grew deeper over time. His kisses were delicious, and his touch was so electric. And every moment with him, I heard that sweet bell chime. Till the night when all our clothes fell off the door, they fell off quick. And I saw it for the first time, that bell dangling from his. Did you know how much I loved you? From the first time that I saw you, to the family tradition, an awesome parlor trick. My father and his father and his father's father too, been blessed by the wee folk with this little spell. We ring it out for true love, so you know that I am true love. And if you be me bride, I will love you well. I saw him in his glory with that little bell dangling. It was hard. It was hard to look away. I see a laddie, and I hear you, laddie, and I believe you, laddie, and this is what I say. Ring it for me, laddie, ring it for me, laddie, ring it twice to keep this smile upon my face. Ring it thrice for true love, and you know I love you, laddie, and if you want to keep me, you best ring it every day. Ring it once, me laddie, and make her look, me laddie, ring it twice to keep this smile upon her face. Ring it thrice for true love, and you know I love you, laddie. And if you want to keep her, you'd best ring it every day. And if you want to keep her, you will ring it every day.
Thank you for joining us on the Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, presented by Circle Sanctuary and produced for all who follow the Nature Center paths. Join us here throughout the week for various programming connecting the community around the world. And please don't forget to watch for updates on the Circle Sanctuary website at www.circlesanctuary.org. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/CSNpodcasts. We can also be found on your favorite podcast hosting sites, such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. And until next time, many blessings.